This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 118. Tom, thank you for sitting opposite me with the microphone.
Oh, yuck. Howdy. I don't know what happened there. My brain farted. Hi.
Hi. You've got an LA cap that is not only matching your sneakers and highlights of your t-shirt, but also you've got a couple of wristbands that I know you've put on simply because you're wearing those colours.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Thanks.
You do a lot of colour coordinating.
I try.
Yeah.
It's my flair.
It's a talent.
Some people wear buttons. I like to colour block or colour clash. I like sometimes, two strong complementary colours.
Sometimes you do a clash, but it's always on purpose and it's never like, oh, why have you done that?
Oh, I get my colour wheel out, give it a spin, see what's going to bust.
See how you go.
I own one white pair of sneakers and one black pair of sneakers and everything else is clash colour combinations.
I bought a pair of white sneakers a couple of weeks ago. I've worn them a few times, but I'm always very conscious and aware of where I walk and also where I put my feet when I'm sitting.
I have a pair of Yeezys that pretty much live in a glass box.
Yeah, that would make sense.
They don't come out very often.
No, I wouldn't. It's simply not worth it. No. We've got The Walking Dead return.
Oh, yeah, I completely forgot.
Yeah.
I caught it late.
But I did that with a Fear the Walking Dead episode once when they returned. So now I think we're even. Mm-hmm. Well, no, we're not even because I hadn't watched it, where this one you remembered and watched it.
Oh, I was up early this morning. We have a new dishwasher getting installed.
Hey.
Behind the scenes exclusive content.
We also will talk about some shows and movies that we've watched over the week. There's a sort of a quiz that has been sent to us via thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com from Jason.
Cool.
Who I reckon is Australian, and you'll figure out why.
All right.
In the email, but that'll be fun. But we've got news to get through first. Who wants to go first?
I choose you.
Yay. All right. This one I only saw recently. And like, if you didn't think that a Mean Girls pop-up cafe could ever exist, well, think again and buy your tickets because the restaurant is, of course, called Fetch. It's going to be in Santa Monica in April. It'll go through till May, so it's not going to stick around.
Oh, my goodness. Are they calling it Fetch because they're going to try and make it happen for a month and it's just not happening?
It's just not going to happen. Yeah, April the 18th to May 31st, so just over a month to make this happen. Then it'll go to New York for summer and I believe it goes back to LA. So it's only going to be in a couple of locations. But $45 for a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You get 90-minute entry and three-course meal. I think $45 is not bad.
Sure.
For food. Three courses.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So they've named, you know, obviously all the food on the menu is all named. So there's a whatever cheese fries, Just Dab Caesar salad. There's a, I saw a funny one. Why are you white chocolate mousse? Like a whole heap of those fun ones that if I was to have watched Mean Girls in the past couple of years, I probably would get more of the references. But I suspect if you're going to go and check this pop-up cafe out, you're going to have watched the movie recently.
Is it October 3rd? Is that the date that he turns around? I'm trying to remember when Mean Girls Day is.
Let us know. watcherspodcast@gmail.com.
We could so easily look it up, but we won't.
No, I can't
move on.
Yeah, we're going to move on. Now, I reckon this is all part of the Broadway musical that's getting turned into a movie, which was based on the movie, which was based on the book.
Mm.
So this is obviously publicity for it, I guess. Although I think the movie's far off. Like it's not getting released soon.
No.
Maybe it's just we're going to keep the name Mean Girls bubbling around.
Oh, and look, they keep doing these different pop-up things.
Wasn't there a Stranger Things one?
Yeah. It's been an awful lot. I went to the Good Place one.
That's right.
Comic-Con.
You did too.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's just fan service stuff.
Yeah. It's and why good. Not? Makes people happy.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Picture it. The weekend. I know, to dream the dream, right? You've slept in and it was great, even though you did wake up 16 times worried you'd missed your weekday alarm. Work isn't dictating your schedule today. Social media and brunch is. The ruler of the day, the boss of the weekend, the cafe is calling you. In this documentary, we explore the popularity of being a foodie influencer. If you don't go, who will live stream eating a chia pudding bowl without the chia? Your friends will wonder if they should remain your friends if you don't stand up on your chair, lean over the table to get the best angled shot of your poached eggs, maple bacon and chia toast. If you don't post photos of you enjoying your avocado chia seed pancakes, did they ever even exist? Anyone can ask for a chia chai hold the tea, but will they get what they ask for if they don't have 20,000 or more followers? Watching the likes go up and up and up and up and up and witnessing your reach and engagement hit a record high is what influencers live for. Even ones who eat their weight in snow pea shoots each year. Brunching through the roof. Now streaming. What else have you found around the traps?
All right, so this is a very brief one, but I was very impressed. Ozzy Osbourne, his new album dropped on Friday. There are some straight bangers on there. It's not the right term to use for Aussie songs, but whatever.
But that's the term you use for songs.
If you enjoyed the song he did with Post Malone on Post Malone's album, it's on there, plus another one with Post Malone.
Oh, cool.
It's the drummer from the Chili Peppers, and there's just a bunch of whole cool people on there. However, so Ozzy called on all these people because he's real sick. He's very old. Mm. He's real sick. Mm. He's called on a bunch of cool people to be on the album. For the music video, do you know who plays Ozzy?
I did see.
Oh, you saw it? Jason Momoa. Yeah. It was so good.
This is my reaction. This is what I reckon his reaction would have been, Jason Momoa. Mm. Someone said, probably his manager, do you want to be Aussie in an Aussie? Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
It wouldn't have gone any further. Like, it wouldn't need to. And he had the perfect rings and hair done right. It was spot on, exactly how Aussie used to behave in front of the camera in the 70s. Ah, so good. If you don't understand my excitement about this, my first concert ever was Black Sabbath. So I have a long, long love of Ozzy Osbourne.
Have you seen him since?
Look, that was in, I want to say 98, maybe 99. No, 99 in Germany. I have seen him twice since then.
That would have been before the Osbournes reality show, right? That would have been 2000s.
Yes. So it was pretty much just as that show was starting to kick off. When that was, and then the other two times have been since then.
Cool.
Yeah, he's a consummate performer. No one throws a bucket of water on the crowd like Ozzy Osbourne.
Not many people would be brave enough to.
No. So, look, that was a short one, but one that I think we can sink our teeth into because this is something that is a bit of a nexus point for both of our interests.
Okay.
So Netflix has done Pablo Escobar stories, Narcos, all this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's probably not going to be a spin-off from one of those, but they're going to do a story about Pablo's hippos. Have you ever heard about this? So, you know, he was the biggest drug lord in the world. And
I'm trying to remember if they appeared in the TV show. I can't remember.
So essentially he had a private zoo and all these crazy exotic animals that he got imported. When things shut down, shall we say, with him, most of those animals were then reassigned to different zoos and given to private collections or zoos around the world, this sort of stuff, have gone on elsewhere. However, hippos, he had four hippos, a male, three females, and they are notoriously difficult to budge. And so the government there basically went, ah, fuck it, we'll leave them. And there are none of the predators or situations they deal with in Africa where, you know, the only place where they're indigenous. Mm. And it's perpetual wet season there, which is the only breeding season that they have in Africa. So these hippos have gone from 4 to 50 and are now straying hundreds of miles from this place. And
in Mexico.
Yeah, and invading towns and, like, going further south and all this sort of stuff. And they have. It is a real situation they have over there that people tried to, you know, capture them and move them on because they were starting to bother human settlements nearby and stuff like that. And people complained to the government so much that it's now illegal to kill a hippo there. So these are protected.
They had to implement that law into Mexican. Wow.
So, yeah, so Netflix are going to do, I don't know if it's a series, a documentary.
Could be a doco,
on this, but I am so amped for this.
How interesting.
This is, for a long time, was up there with, like, your Blue Mountains panther or one of those crazy stories. You know, it is known there are a few hippos wild in Australia that, that got out from a private zoo that closed in the late 90s. There's suspected to be another pair that got out from Cairns, like near Cairns.
Yeah, right.
But this story of hippos in Mexico was a folklore thing for quite a while.
Until it became too obvious.
And now the government has to celebrate these hippos and they're you know, at Pablo's, I think it's now a theme park or something like that. His
estate. Sort of like your Graceland kind of thing.
Yeah. They have a protected area there that they can't be interfered with and stuff. What an amazing topic.
That is wild.
Yep.
I love those little trivia bits of facts.
It's so cool. So I'm going to be all over that. I think there's a lot of fun to be had.
50 wild hippos roaming parts of Mexico.
Breeding every year more often than they should be.
I think you've won.
It's pretty good.
That's the best one.
I don't know. I've got some other good stories in the mix here.
I know I can't
deep
top
from
that.
The bag.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
What exactly are the two D's, as in the creators of...
The double D.
Yeah, the double D of the Game of Thrones guys. What exactly are they doing in Netflix? Because remember they had that big,
the deal,
$200 million or something.
Walk away from Star Wars deal.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's right. They were supposed to make 3 movies for Star Wars. Well, it was not going to happen anyway. I suspect that was a bit of both.
Yep.
Now that we understand that Star Wars is only TV stuff for a while. Yeah. Anyway, Sandra Oh is going to be in a six-episode dramedy called The Chair. It was co-created by Amanda Peet, who is Dan Benioff's wife.
Oh.
She...
And I know Amanda Peet.
Yeah, we know who she is.
From The Whole Nine Yards, I believe.
Wasn't she also in a show called Jack and Jill?
Yeah.
I didn't mind that show. She's quite high. Huh. Anyway, she's going to be the showrunner for this show.
Nice.
And executive producer, along with the two Ds. And Sandra Oh's also going to be a producer. All I know about what this show is about, and it could mean anything, is that it's about the chair of an English department. Sandra Oh will be playing that character a university.
As in the head, the chair.
Yes, yeah, the
you
head.
Meant like
she will be playing a chair.
I thought this is like...
Fair enough.
Traveling Sisterhood of Pants, except this is about a chair that brings mythical good luck to struggling teachers or something.
No, isn't there one about a blanket?
I think so, yeah, the quilt.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's all I know about that.
Hmm.
And it sounds very different to Game of Thrones.
It does.
I wonder how much of the $200 million is this six-part series.
I imagine a slice of that is going straight to Sandra Oh.
Yeah.
She's not going to be cheap.
She's still going to be in...
Killing Eve?
Yeah. She's still...
You wouldn't want to walk away from that.
Oh, no way. Not at all. What else have you got?
Pull another one from the bag of... that's a weird story.
Do go on.
There's been a lot of chatter recently because California have been reviewing their laws around exotic animal ownership, specifically relating to performing animals. And there's been some confusion as to what this would mean for the entertainment industry, specifically Hollywood and this
Like
stuff.
The acting animals.
Yes. So they've really come down, and what this basically... Animal performers are now banned in Los Angeles. And that sounds like a very broad blanket statement, but I went and looked at this ruling and stuff. And what it's to do with is very rich people in Hollywood having petting zoo parties in their backyard, like you or I could have here, where we would have maybe a baby goat and a few
baby goat bunny rabbits and a little pig.
And this has been outlawed because multiple times police have been called because someone's been seen leading a baby elephant up a hill through Hollywood.
Right.
And the poor thing looks hot and bothered.
Okay.
Or a giraffe that's been forced to swelter in a tiny backyard for...
The amusement of kids.
So they're outlawing this sort of thing.
Right.
So if these animal performers are working with dedicated trainers in a dedicated space, completely permitted. So these animals that perform in movies and stuff like that, TV, completely fine.
Yeah, they're different.
They're on sound stages. They're in a dedicated spot. It's not like they're going to a different backyard every year, every day and setting up for an hour, this sort of stuff. So it's been really interesting to watch that and watch this sort of ruling come down and different people from the industry comment on it and stuff like that, because there was a whole lot of pushback from Hollywood of like, you've really got to think through the terminology you use here or you could be crippling an industry. And they've done it in such a way that it looks like it will actually just cut the tumorous bit of that industry out.
All with wording.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So well done.
Yeah, that is very good. However, now kids' birthday parties won't be able to have the animals. But I was just thinking, like in the movie Parenthood, they could have Cowboy Gil.
Sure.
Because the kids loved him.
Look, there are plenty of great options out there. I can speak from experience. When I was 9, we had monkeys come for my birthday.
Whoa, that's so cool.
It was very cool. They were tiny little capuchin monkeys, so similar to what
Marcel. Yeah, we were talking Marcel and the Night in the Museum.
Yes. One. So they came and performed, and this guy owned several monkeys, and he owned an orangutan that didn't come. He also owned a chimpanzee, which sat inside the van while everyone was inside and shook the van violently.
Holy cow.
I've told you before, like we didn't need to go into on air, but I've told you about chimpanzees, how bad news they are.
Yeah.
So not long after this, that industry was outlawed in Australia completely. I believe he had to give up plenty of his primates. I don't know about, he had to give up plenty of his apes. I don't know about the monkeys.
Okay.
But yeah, you can't have those birthdays anymore.
They don't exist.
And it was amazing. I still remember it was a monkey put on a tiny hat and climbed into a bed. And then another one rode around on a three-wheel bicycle.
Oh, yeah.
Ringing a bell. Ring, 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 ring.
Very clever.
You know, I bet that guy loved it because they fed him peanuts.
Literally.
It worked for peanuts.
That would be another problem, though, these days. Because a lot of kids have nut allergies.
You can't bring them.
So you can't bring them because the monkeys have peanut residue on them. Damn it.
Quick one. If you're in the UK, get excited. Disney Plus, I think you can you can pre-order and sign up at least this week. If it might be launching later.
Okay.
Very soon. But I know that the pre-orders, get in there now.
Do it.
They're going to be releasing Mandalorian episodes weekly.
Oh, no, really? Why are they doing that?
I don't know.
They should just give it to everyone.
That's what they've told everyone. They may change their tune quickly.
Just get on and then do the weekly thing with everybody else in the world. That's a bit rough.
Yeah.
I find that a bit rough. A couple of parents from Riverdale are leaving.
I saw that.
Yes, yeah, Skeet.
Ulrich.
Who was...
Jericho.
Mm.
No, and he was in Scream.
Very impressive way that you were doing the end of my sentences. That goes to show we've known each other for a while.
Finish each other's sandwiches. I love Skeet Ulrich. I have a lot of time for that guy. He is hugely underrated, and I feel like he kind of is what River Phoenix would have been. If River Phoenix wasn't going to go on and be a big movie star, which he probably would have been, I can see him doing really interesting stuff like Skeet Ulrich does.
And he also doesn't look that much different.
No, he's Paul Rudd.
Yeah, he is.
He's got a bit of that.
Paul Rudd. And Marisol Nichols is the other parent, the actress, who will not be returning. He's Jughead's dad. She's Veronica's mum. He's going on to do a movie with Tom Hanks, so he's going to be fine. I think it's basically that these kids who are in high school are growing up, so the storyline has to shift and change a little bit, so it's less about the parents and more about the kids. I remember that happened in Beverly Hills 90210. I think they finished college and they still had the sets.
Yeah.
So they still lived in the Walsh house, but the parents moved out, which shouldn't make any
sense. That doesn't make
any
sense.
I think they moved to like Singapore or something. Because, you know, everybody wants a Beverly Hills accountant.
Could it also be slightly that by jettisoning some of the parents, then there's less specter of Luke Perry?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they're not dealing with that older generation and bringing it up, then they can move on and not
That's a good point.
Dwell on that.
Mm. Yeah. I only watched the first season, so I can't say what's going on in the story.
I keep... I love comics. I should love Archie. There are certain Archie stuff that I do. There's one with Archie versus Predator, and it's Archie and the gang on an island being hunted by the Predator, and it ends horribly, and it's great. I can't do normal Archie, and so even trying the idea of jumping into Riverdale, I can't do it. I don't know why. Jughead's awesome. What a great character.
Yeah, they're very different. I enjoyed the fact that it was a different take on it. I enjoyed that there was a murder mystery.
Sure.
But I also realized I was not the demographic.
We're way too old for it.
Yeah. So that was the main reason why I tapped out of that.
With Better Moves and David Brent, you're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Lindsay Lohan, she's going to make a triumphant return to the big screen. I suspect being a judge in The Masked Singer really just had all the offers coming to her. She's going to be in sort of a horror movie called Cursed. It's got Mickey Rourke in it as well. Wow. So they're two people.
They must have a lot of budget for insurance.
Yeah, I bet. That's where all of it's going. He's going to play a famous psychiatrist who has to team up with Lindsay's character, who's a police detective, in order to stop a crazy person who has escaped from a psychiatric facility. This character is holed up in a remote house with five hostages.
Can you imagine, right, if we gave that a bunch of shit right now, and then a year from now, we're both eating humble pie as Lindsay Lohan accepts an Oscar.
That's why we just have to be quiet for this.
As the hard-boiled detective, beat cop, sorry, the helping out the grizzled psychiatrist, Mickey Rourke.
People are going to be like, she was the Scully that we never knew that we needed.
She was a revelation.
Yeah. So look out for it. Cursed.
Lohanissance.
I'm guessing she's not going to be a Masked Singer next year or this year.
Was she one of them? Or she was a judge, wasn't she? In an Australian one.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's a long fall.
Yep. But the ladder's there. She's climbing it now.
You go, girl.
You go, girl.
Speaking of you go, girl, Harley Quinn. You know I'm dying for that animated series because you can't get DC Universe here in Australia. It's season one is on iTunes pre-order. It comes out in March.
Okay,
if you're interested.
That's soon.
It's very soon. But even more exciting, April, season two starts on DC Universe. There you go.
It's out of control.
It is. I've heard nothing but good things. All the clips and bits that I've watched completely legally, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
And it's got your favorite guy in it.
Yeah, it's Ron Funches in there, and it's Kaley Cuoco.
That's right. I was like, someone is, yeah, somebody who I never thought would be Harley Quinn was, that's right, yeah.
Apparently she has a lot of fun. Hey, I've got two more news stories, but they're both in the comic book realm.
Go for it.
Ish. So, number one, I've talked about She-Hulk before, how it could be very Ally McBeal. Well, just as we were about to go to record, reportedly Marvel's top choice for She-Hulk is Alison Brie.
Well, I believe next season of Glow is finishing.
Yes.
So she'll be ready.
She's already a bit bulked up from Glow.
Yeah.
A little bit in the shape, and she's got the comedic chops for the role.
Yes, she does.
Stephanie Beatriz, who plays Rosa on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Ah, right. I knew the name.
She was also, I want to say, Stardust Angel Fire or something like that in Lego Movie 2. She has also thrown her name in the ring many times as being quite interested.
But okay.
I think Alison Brie is a bigger get.
For sure.
Yeah. So this is a TV series that will, I imagine, cross over to the films eventually.
Oh, yeah. I can see Alison Brie for sure then.
Yep. And then the other one, this is not television news, but if you love The Umbrella Academy, and we know season two is coming at some point this year, the comic book series is getting a spin-off called You Look Like Death, and it's going to be the origin of Klaus, who was the drug-addled. In the comic, he's also known as Seance. He doesn't really use that name in the show, but he can commune with the dead.
And it makes him a little
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little unhinged, and he prefers to spend life very, very heavily medicated to turn off the voices. It's going to be set about 10 years before where the TV show was set.
So would that be just after they all sort of separate and go their own way?
I think we may actually get part of the bit before the separation and more of him and Ben together. Mm-hmm. Before things happened with Ben, which we don't need to go into, if you haven't seen. But yeah, I think he'll be dealing a lot with that and then his spiral because we've always seen him at the bottom coming back up. I think we'll be witnessing more of how he pushed everyone away. But that's pretty cool. And then the season two, there's a poster that came out this week that just says, when are they?
Ooh.
Not a where.
Okay.
When.
I really liked that show.
I can't it was wait for a, it to come back.
It didn't take me long to watch it. I did a fair bit. I reckon I probably watched it in three sittings.
It was very Moorish. Yeah. It was great cliffhangers. Yeah. Sometimes some shows, you know, a cliffhanger hits and you're like, that was good. I can let that sit. I'll wait for the next one. But those were very Moorish. And I think it was eight episodes, maybe 10, but it didn't overstay.
It wasn't a lot, yeah.
Because I've been re-watching or catching up on some of the Marvel shows. You know, I did Daredevil and 13 episodes is a lot when you can streamline it and do an eight.
And it's funny that now 13 is a lot.
Yeah, because I'm so used to the world of 22 to 24. Yeah.
I think in this world where you can binge, having seasons that are super long just makes it feel drawn out. They're the ones that you would watch like one episode every couple of days.
Yep.
You'll let those savor, but binge, binge, binge. Anything else news-wise?
I got two trailers that I saw.
Yeah, what?
Two TV shows. One's called Dispatches from Elsewhere. I don't know much about this. It's meant to be a bit of a mystery show.
It's American?
It is. It's a drama. It's got Jason Segel and some and Andre 3000. I'm wearing – he's literally on my shirt right now. Why did I have to think of his name? He's on my shirt.
And just so you know, he's not shaking it like a Polaroid picture.
No, this is definitely Stanktonia era Outcast.
Is that before or after?
That is before.
So would that be around the Miss Jackson?
Yeah, B.O.B.
He's so fresh and so clean.
So fresh, so clean. Lots of day-glow colours.
Okay.
Yes. I don't know too much about this, but it's something to do with a real life story of people that are involved in a massive worldwide scavenger hunt.
Okay.
Searching for meaning.
Yep.
People that are looking for meaning in their life begin playing this game and it gives them some purpose. They form a family with fellow players and stuff. I don't know. It could be interesting.
Yeah, sounds intriguing.
It could be naff.
Well, at least they have a name behind it.
They do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who? I don't think I've seen him in anything since How About Your Mother wrapped up.
So he does a lot of executive producing behind the scenes and getting projects going and this sort of stuff. He's
been busy.
He's been busy. He's been doing stuff. I'm trying to remember. Because there was a point where he was real hot with like I Love You Man, Forgetting Sarah
Heaps
Marshall.
Of yep. Is that the one with Russell Brand? Which one? Yeah.
And the Muppets. He did the first Muppet. He was really good in that.
He was in was he? Was he in Freaks and Geeks?
Yes.
Not a bad show.
Great show. So that's Dispatches from Elsewhere. I think that's kicking off later this week, might be early next week.
Mm-hmm.
And then another show called Breeders, which is on FX in the States, but I believe is made in the UK. Executive produced and written by Chris Addison, who you would know on screen from The Thick of It and various things. He's been working for years behind the scenes on Veep. He's been one of the head writers on Veep and this sort of stuff and directed a lot of the episodes. He's now got his own show. It stars Martin Freeman and, I've forgotten her name, from, what's the show with Matt LeBlanc? Episodes.
Oh, yep.
She's the really bitchy American assistant or executive.
I don't know her name.
Daisy someone. She's playing the wife and they have, I think, two kids and another one coming or a little baby and stuff, and it's all about the mistakes you make as a parent.
Mm.
And when I read the description, I was like, eh. But then I saw the trailer and talking about it, I was like, okay, there's some relatable moments
in there. Is it a little like a warm comedy? You know how there are those warm, cozy comedies? Does it feel like that?
I don't know because Martin Freeman said more beeps in this one-minute clip than I've ever heard him actually swear.
All right.
He like walks in screaming to the children, I told you to shut up because I'm trying to sleep to and that's to like 6 and 8 year old children. I say,
he's
relatable.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. Breeders.
Breeders. Okay.
I think it might be some sort of deal in the same way that FX did. I said The Impossible Man. No, they've got that show at the moment with the Aussie guy. He's a hitman.
It like Australian show.
I don't know if it's an Australian show, but it stars an Australian guy as a hitman.
Does he have like anger issues?
Yeah. Mr. something.
Yeah.
Mr. Ordinary.
I haven't seen it.
I watched the first episode.
I haven't watched it.
It was really good.
Yeah?
Not my thing, okay. But really good. Yeah.
Does I think it doesn't have Brooke Satchwell in it or something, does it? I'm looking at my phone upside
down. It might
do.
Brooke Satchwell.
Yeah. She's been quite consistent since Neighbours.
I had a bit of a crush on her back in the day.
Yeah, I can see that. Mr. In Between.
That's it. Mr. In Between.
Nash Edgerton. That's right. Scott Ryan. And I was right. Brooke Satchwell.
So they must make that here and then sell it to them.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Okay, I'm going to stop looking at that now. Otherwise.
FX loves the show.
Yeah.
They push it hard.
Fair enough. Anything else?
No.
Right.
Get out of my house.
Turns out it's easy being green. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So there was a show that I discovered on, was it Netflix, I think? And mm-hmm. I thought, one, how have I never heard of this show before?
Mm-hmm.
It's like The Office, but set like in Giza, London, and it's called People Just Do Nothing.
Oh, yeah. The radio guys.
Yeah.
What's his? I haven't watched that in years. There's a movie of that coming.
Yeah, I think they go to Japan. It's like Hectic or something.
Oh no, the manager has got some name.
Oh,
and I'm trying to remember because it sounds just like some noise that Rihanna makes in a song. It does.
Grindr, Chabuddy.
Chabuddy, hey Chabuddy.
I love him.
And yeah, in one song, Rihanna, it's move your body, it's your buddy.
Yes.
And so I'm convinced that's where Chabuddy gets the song.
You always think it's about him. Great show. It's everything you want in a show that's supposed to be a documentary but is clearly a comedy.
Yep. And just some guys trying to desperately make it in the world of underground rap. Is it rap or just like drum,
it's like,
jungle,
yeah,
house?
It's like house music, yeah. What I enjoyed was there were remnants of radio in there, in that people have like delusions of grandeur.
Sure.
So there was this one where they were giving away a perfume bottle and they signed it. Like, and no one was calling in to to enter the competition. And I just thought, this reminds me of when the sales department has made such a big deal about getting something that isn't really that good, but they were so excited about the deal that they made that they came up with this convoluted
too many
competition.
Hoops.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh, just I can give away a pizza voucher for $7 like right now, but you've
No one wants to enter to win a lawnmower attachment.
No, you don't. You just want something. Anyway, very funny show, and I'm going to keep watching it because there are heaps of episodes.
Well, if you're enjoying Chabuddy, he also appears in Hoff's TV show.
I have IMDb'd him.
Yes. He does a great job as the far too overzealous driver for the Hoff.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I would suggest bookending those two shows.
Okay.
They complement each other quite well.
I like a good compliment. Mm. What have you been watching?
So I'm going to give you a little update on a few shows that we talk about regularly, but there was some cool stuff. So on Lego Masters this week, the theme was cut in half. So it starts with Will Arnett riding a bicycle out and then getting out like a massive electric saw and cutting the thing right down the middle. And
unbelievable.
Everyone was given half an item that they had to use as a springboard for a story.
Okay.
So it wasn't just complete the other side. It was do something with it. And the guy and girl who had not met before the competition were paired up together. The last two episodes have fought like crazy. And this one came together and did the most amazing thing of they got given half a fire hydrant. And she spent 12 hours building waves coming out of it. And he sculpted a mermaid.
Wow.
It was gorgeous.
That's really cool. Sort of along the similar lines, if I remember, there was an episode in the Australian Lego Masters where they had to build an apartment, one floor,
mm-hmm.
and then they would make a whole apartment building. That was cool. That sounds like a good episode.
It was pretty good. Look, over on Schooled, that's the spin-off from the Goldbergs.
Mm.
And Goldbergs.
Is it in the 90s?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Goldbergs has recreated plenty of movies. Schooled has started dipping their toes in this week. They did Swingers.
Oh, nice.
I love that movie. And yeah. I haven't watched it in years.
No, I wouldn't have seen it for years and years.
But they got plenty of the patter down. That was really good. Lots of checkered shoes.
Yeah, nice.
A lot of
Vans.
Open bowling shirts with a singlet, white singlet underneath.
and maybe a chain, yeah. like a necklace yeah. sort of thing.
So money. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the new season is going gangbusters, and they've been seeding this very cool story with a new recruit. And it took a swerve this week I didn't see coming. The next episode is called Debbie, after this character. Amazing. MVP so far this season is definitely Charles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, who's normally the weirdo butt of everyone's yep. jokes. He's coming through, giving okay. some good advice. And Jolo Truglio is clearly having a lot of fun. And look, the last one, I'll just mention it. The week at the Comedy Cellar, which I've talked about before, is filmed live in New York in a comedy club on, I believe they film it at like 1 or 2 a.m. on a Thursday morning and have it edited on air by Friday night.
That's insane.
It's pretty cool. Season 3 has kicked off and you'll find those. I think it's Friday night. It won't be Saturday. I can't remember. But such a cool, good show with comedians. But the one I really wanted to check in with is I mentioned it. I don't know if I mentioned it on air, but someone hadn't been uploading the episodes of Mike Tyson Mysteries to iTunes.
What's going on?
So it finally got rectified and I got like 8 episodes at once and I watched it. I don't know what's happened. Maybe they're trying to get cancelled or something.
Okay.
But it's gotten way, 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 way darker. And really? The show was already really dark.
Yeah, I remember but you talking about
like
it.
Like the Scooby-Doo Mysteries. Most episodes now involve them, if not accidentally killing someone, murdering
Holy
someone
cow.
And covering it up.
Okay.
And it's gone really far. Anyway, the finale episode ended up with Marcus the Ghost, who's voiced by the Dean from Community, finally ascending to heaven and being granted his wings to become Aww. An angel. Unfortunately, like Mike Tyson and the rest of the mystery team went to watch, and then when God was coming out, they were told to go downstairs because no one can look at God's face and survive. And so everyone's standing there. Mike had previously been to a dentist and thinking it was a psychologist, but walked out okay. somehow with braces and decided to get chromed out braces. And whilst being sent downstairs so God can come out, Mike runs upstairs to ask where the toilet is because he needs a heavenly shit, says the words heavenly shit, and smiles at seeing God. Closes his eyes in time. Unfortunately, the chrome in his braces reflects God's face onto God.
Oh, no.
So they've killed God and the apocalypse has begun and that's how the season ends.
No.
So I have no idea where this show goes next.
But my God,
I'm so glad it does.
That is a story.
Killing God with chrome-plated grills.
How could that ever?
Braces.
You could never foresee that.
No.
That's No, wild.
It's such a twisted show and they go some places. And yeah, the other part that makes me think maybe that Mike, the character of Mike in the show is now the only one aware he's in a cartoon.
Okay. Oh, right.
But I think it's just Mike Tyson, the actor, getting tired of playing this stuff. So they've left in lines from the readings. Like, man, I got to get more food. Man, who writes this stuff? It's terrible. Like, they'll just leave stuff in there like that.
For their own amusement.
So good.
It does sound like they're trying to wrap it up, though.
I do love it.
Their plastic surgeon doesn't want them doing any activity where balls fly at their nose. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
It's time for a reality show watch.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. I've watched a few episodes with Tidy of Married at First Sight.
Oh.
And we've made it super enjoyable by giving people new names. So there's, I mean, first off, I don't think anybody who would ever watch this show would believe that this is real. I'm sure that everybody watching this show knows that none of these people are there to get married at first sight. They're just there to get on television.
Okay. I've never watched. So can you give me
okay.
a quick little...
So they call it an experiment, a social experiment, where
yes.
they have experts who will pair up people who have applied to be on the show with a partner and then they get married. That is the very first time they meet each other.
So is that like episode one is the wedding?
Episode one is okay. the wedding. So there's probably about, I don't know, 8 couples. So you get 8 of these weddings that all happen on the first week.
Yeah, okay.
And then there's the honeymoon, and then they go and they have to stay in these apartments together and live together, and they fight because they can't live. And then they have dinner parties where they all get together and they all drink too much, and then they all fight again. So you're there to watch the fights.
Okay.
That's what it's all about. And also to watch people who have literally no other reason to be on television but to maybe get their Instagram following count up.
So it sounds like the general purpose of this show is just to piss on the concept of a wedding. All right. I like it. Okay.
Yes. So
thank you for that.
No problem.
I've heard about it plenty and I knew it was something to do with getting married, but
I knew
clearly married at first sight. But how is that a TV show?
See, I don't watch shows like The Bachelor and stuff. And I know that people love to watch it to make fun of it. And this is like next level. Like it's low hanging fruit.
Okay.
So there's this one girl who her voice sounds exactly like Fifi Box. Exactly like Fifi Box.
All right.
She's very Victorian, like she says Melbourne and all of that sort of stuff. And she says grouse, which I didn't think anybody, well, no one outside of Victoria says it. And also I didn't think anybody outside of 1988 said it.
Yeah, I haven't heard grouse in a long
time.
Well,
she says it. Most contestants have at least 45,000 tattoos and every female must have their lips done.
Okay.
To be on the show, I believe. Anyway, so she got quite emotional because she had been fighting with her husband, who she'd known for a week. And she told everybody that she's a good egg. And the way her lips moved, because they're puffed up, the edges of her mouth sort of sunk down to her chin while she said she's a good egg. Yeah, you're doing it. And it was hilarious. So now she is known as the good egg. And there was a scene where she was having lunch with some friends and one of her friends had a Caesar salad with eggs in it. I'm like, oh, eggs must be present at all good egg meals.
Sure. Take that, good egg.
Take that, good egg. And there's another couple. They're known as the older couple. So they're in their 50s. And he is a barber of an English background but lives in Melbourne. So he's like a bit trendy. He too has lots of tattoos. But he's done this weird thing with his hair where he's shaved the front of it.
Sure.
And I've never seen anybody give themselves a voluntary receding hairline. So he's known as voluntary receding hairline.
I have seen this before.
It's
an odd choice.
It's an odd choice because now every time I see him on the screen, I'm like, It's like Austin Powers with the Moley Moly. I'm like,
does he have a particular job where he has to wear a helmet or something all the time?
No, he's a barber.
He's a barber.
He's a trendy barber. There's a lot to unpack in all of this. There's also a couple of couples that are obviously not interesting enough, so you hardly ever see them. Mm. So whenever you see them, you're like, oh, I forgot they were on the show. And
what, the ones just getting along?
Yeah, they're just getting along, therefore they're not interesting. Sure. And there was the first ever gay couple. There was a lesbian couple that got married and I didn't see the Hollywood, the honeymoon episodes, but apparently just from that moment they both kind of knew they weren't really into each other, but they can't just sort of go along like that, so then there had to be fights about that. And then one of them decided she was going to make a vegan meal for them, for the couple.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make it for my wife and myself. Anyway, the wife said, so what made you become vegan? And she goes, oh, I can't tell you the vegan story right now. I'm really stressed about this cauliflower. And I went, that is brilliant. They have now left the show, but we never knew why she became a vegan. It's hanging. Maybe we have to go to her Instagram and watch her stories, but I don't know.
Sorry, I've just died. The concept of going to someone's Instagram to find out their stories about why they became a vegan because the cauliflower was stressing them out. Ugh.
Have you ever had stressful cauliflower, though?
I've dealt with stressful head. No, cauliflower.
I've had a stressful cauliflower before.
How is this?
Is it discolored? Are you worried that you're going to burn it? Is that why it's stressful?
Is the cheese not melted enough?
But
I could understand if you forgot the cheese sauce.
Vegan cheese sauce may stress you out because it's not like cheese. This is a lot to unpack. But it's the kind of show you need to watch with a couple of people who are going to make fun of it with you.
Sure.
And then it's fun. I would never actively watch this show by myself. You've got to watch it with someone else to make fun.
I was going to say, do we need to have a chat?
So we put the subtitles on, which are hilarious in themselves because they like the person typing or the computer program gets it
How
wrong.
Do they spell grouse?
I believe it's the correct way, but they also have to explain the genre of music. So it's like whimsical music, dramatic music, swelling dramatic music.
Emotional music.
Yes, emotional music is in there. And I wonder what kind of pay range someone would be in to have to describe music to people.
Sure. Like, is that?
Like, you'd be listening to those corporate, you know, that corporate upbeat. Corporate serious music.
Muzak.
Yeah. After a while, they all start to sound the same.
Inspirational.
Inspirational music. Inspirational corporate music. Indie inspirational music. There's a lot of them. You can really only listen to a few before you're like, nah.
It's too much.
It's too much.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I've got some new shows that I watch.
Mm.
Some stuff that's kicked off this week. One, you might like this. Do you ever watch Hot Ones? No, the wings eating internet series where celebrities go and get interviewed about eating Hot Ones.
I have seen that.
So this is a spin-off. It's on True TV called Hot Ones, the game show.
They still get celebrities or just normal people?
Just people.
Now? Yeah, fun.
But they got to eat hot wings while answering questions and the trivia and challenges amp up. And I watched one. I don't care for it.
Oh, really? I thought it would be funny. It sounds like the premise sounds fun.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not a big hot wings fan. I don't like hot wings and stuff.
Yep.
I imagine if you eat all that and you're going to get a lot more out of it. So it's one of those sorts
okay.
of things.
All right.
Of just this, I went in gung-ho of like, this is going to be great. But because I don't know what that feeling, like the guys were crying.
Yeah.
By the end of it, crying, rolling on the ground. Why are you doing this to us? Jeez. It was pretty funny.
I just think about the poor cleaners at the end who have to deal with bathrooms and stuff. Oof.
Look, that was fine, but one that I think you will quite like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like Amy Poehler?
I love Amy Poehler.
Would you like a cartoon series with Amy Poehler?
I actually think I would.
What about if Amy Poehler played her own son as well?
I can hear her voice doing that.
So this show is called Duncanville. It is about Duncan. He is a teenage average boy who is average at everything.
Is that the son?
Yes.
Okay.
He dreams all the time of being anything but average. And so that's where the show has the fantastical elements and this sort of stuff. The mother is a meter maid who mm-hmm. has dreams of becoming a detective.
Okay.
That is also Amy Poehler.
Okay.
And the father is Ty Burrell from Modern Family.
Mm.
And the...
He's good.
Yeah, and the sister is Ricky Lindholm, who is from another period and half of Hall and Oates.
Oh, yes.
Yes, the tall one.
Yep, the tall one.
The one that's not playing the ukulele all the time. Looks like a woodland nymph.
Who was she?
That's Kate Micucci.
I think she may have been in a few episodes of, what's it called? With Sheldon.
Oh, Big Bang.
I think she might have been in that for a little bit.
Mm, Ricky Lindholm was recently in Knives Out as well.
Okay.
She gets around a fair bit. But look, it's a Fox comedy, so it's on the Sunday night block with your family guys and all that sort of stuff, and it was enjoyable.
It sits well in there.
So that was Duncanville. Another show called Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, and that stars, I want to say, it's her name Jane Levy, not Jane Lynch. Jane Levy, the young redhead girl. She was on, I want to say, Suburbicon or Suburbia or something like that. She's been in a fair bunch of stuff.
Yes, Shameless.
Yes, she was in Shameless, and she was in maybe not Friday the 13th, but one of the horror remakes.
I'm just having a look. She was in Don't Breathe?
Yes. She's been in a bunch of stuff. Anyway, so this is a show following her. She is in an accident, and then people's innermost thoughts start playing out as musicals around her. So it's not her innermost thoughts playing out as a musical, but it's her understanding what other people are thinking through them breaking out into song. So she's convinced that she's very, you know, she's got
almost
some serious
crazy
trauma on the brain.
Ex-girlfriend kind of stuff, but like instead of just, this is going to be a fun musical bit, it's weaved into the story.
Yes. Now, I went in very excited for this because I thought it was going to be like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, but it's not. They sing pop songs. So they've got their budget. It's clearly all going towards licensing these songs and stuff like that. So it's not someone breaking out into fun musical songs about their current situation. It's
Glee time.
Yes. So I checked out of that pretty damn quick, which is a real shame.
Yeah.
The one bit that I did stay, I don't know how I feel about this, right? Oh. So Peter Gallagher, who you might remember as the dad from The OC, and he's been a lot of things, a lot of things. So he plays the father in the show, and I'm not sure, I can't remember if they said specifically what it did. He has a motor neuron disease and he's locked in.
Oh, damn.
And then when she suddenly gets this power where she can hear people's innermost thoughts, the father can get up and sing. And it's a really bold choice, I feel, that they've got someone who's known for being very animated and stuff playing a vegetative state, that then at least once an episode is going to jump up and sing and dance and then sit back down and lock back in. And it feels like a very 90s acting choice.
Yeah, okay.
And that really pulled me out of things and made me go, I don't know if
What's the show called again?
Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
Okay.
There's a lot of hype behind it. It was beautifully made, very well acted and this sort of stuff. You know, I don't like musicals. I like making fun of musical stuff, like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is making fun of the format, or you know, the South Park guys when they do it, this sort of stuff. I just couldn't get into this one, which is a real shame because I've been following it for a while. And then the last new show that I'll mention very quickly. It's easy. It's called Richard Hammond's Big. And so it's Richard Hammond, formerly of Top Gear, now of the Grand Tour. And he just goes around to some of the world's biggest things and investigates. So
he's going to be in Australia for sure.
At some point he will. But the first one was at the Volkswagen factory in Germany. And it was really, really interesting because this place is like a couple of miles long. It's one of the biggest buildings on Earth.
Right.
And it showed how basically this thing can pump out a new car every 16 seconds.
Wow. Okay.
This whole factory set up. Very, very interesting. You have to take once you check in, you take a bus to wherever your factory is, and then they have more than 6,000 bikes on location, like bicycles, so you can pedal from one end of the factory to the other.
Cool.
Still trying to make fetch happen? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Well, Walking Dead returned.
It did, didn't it?
We knew that a group of them were stuck in a cave with 40 million walkers, and I did tell you it reminded me of the game Days Gone, because often, well, during the daytime, if you have to go and clear out a horde, they're going to be in their cave, and it makes it very stressful because you've only got a little torch.
Sure.
Just like
minimal light.
Yeah, and sometimes you're weaving around corners and stuff, and when you've got hundreds of freakers, they call it, coming at you, you're like, I have no idea where I'm going. And I thought we were going to get a bit of that, but we didn't really, did we? At least not en masse.
No. No one died. I mean, two people were caught in an explosion at the end, but rule of television is you don't see it. It didn't happen.
Also, the fact that Daryl said, I'm going to go and find a different opening.
Yep.
So.
And that, like, narratively, the deaf girl's sister would have been way more upset.
Yeah, she's like, we can't stay here. Let's get out of here. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm going to say something, and I think you're probably going to think the same thing, but I found Carol annoying.
This is the worst Carol's been in years. They're just slashing her character to bits at the moment.
It's the same conversation that she's having with Daryl every time.
Yep.
The only thing that was mildly interesting was the fact that she was claustrophobic, but even then I was not worried about her with claustrophobia because I realized how big Jerry is. And I knew that getting through those tight areas, that was the bit that I was worried about, not about Carol freaking out.
So can we talk about Jerry getting stuck?
That was honestly the best bit of the show for me. It made me stressed out. I'm not claustrophobic, but I can.
I am very claustrophobic. This was the most intense Walking Dead has been in a long time for me, like in terms of scariness and stuff, nothing to do with the zombies, but you can see I'm having difficulty squirming talking about Jerry stuck in that tunnel. That is my number two way to die, being stuck. It's not about being crushed. It's not
it's being not about- stuck there and not being able to get out, just staying exactly there. And I loved when they had the walkers suddenly coming out. It sounded like some pulley system contraption was opened and allowed them through, which I thought was very clever. But that to me was the best bit. And I like the fact, and I assume it's Angela Kang that's doing this. She's putting them in different situations that we have never witnessed in The Walking Dead, like the snow.
Winter.
Yeah. And then this, that's what I really enjoyed about it. This to me, and maybe it is because the day's gone, but there were elements of this episode, I should say, that were really video game-like.
Yeah.
They were borrowing off video game actions and puzzles to get out of this.
A little bit of Tomb Raider, jumping across the rocks with
absolutely
your ankles.
A bit of the hold up the big beam. I mean, That's a bit of Uncharted, God of War kind of stuff. Yeah.
I thought Jerry was a goner.
Me too. Me too.
And that would be the worst way to go on that show, of being pinned and chomped from behind, and you've still got to look everyone in the eye.
Yep, like Daryl desperately trying to pull you out. I don't know how he managed to get his gear off. If you're already stuck, how do you get your gear off?
Take your gear off first, Jerry. Come on, man. Make yourself thin. If Aaron's having trouble getting through there, mate, you're a big fella.
That's right.
I mentioned that was my number two way to die.
What's number one?
Well, it ties in. I'm going to make a bold statement now. I last year was like somewhat dismissive of Terminator Dark Fate, the most recent Terminator with Linda Hamilton and Arnie in that. And I watched it this week and I was wrong. It was great.
Oh, good.
I loved it. But it had so my number one way to die, right? Phil Collins falling onto a pool cover.
Scary.
That is my number one way to die. They try and take a Terminator out in this. They're inside a car, like a sinking car. Someone's got a parachute, and the Terminator punches in the window, and they shove the parachute in its face and open the cord, and it opens and engulfs
it.
That's the worst thing I've ever seen.
I mean, it's very inventive. The chances of that happening are quite slim, though.
Super slim, but just I didn't know I needed to be terrified of that, but now I do.
Interesting.
Anyway, sorry, back to Walking Dead. All of that then was, yes, Terminator Dark Fate, great, give it a chance.
Yeah, good. I'm glad about that.
Messed up death.
Okay, so did you laugh at the bit where you saw Negan and Alpha standing naked?
Well, I laughed a little bit.
Is it in the comic?
Yep.
Okay.
That's his plan.
Yep.
He's doing that on purpose. You know, she's now got a massive chink in her armor. She has feelings for someone. Even if she says it's just you deserve a reward, she clearly thinks highly of him, and he's found that weak spot and he can start. I can get on board with some weird kit in the bedroom if pushed, but keep that on.
Keep the rotting zombie mask on.
Pash through that.
No, I don't know.
The smells.
I mean, let's be honest, by this point in time, all of the world smells anyway.
Oh, yeah, but like smell-o-vision came to life with that scene. She said, whoa.
That's right, because there was a lot of smell, though, because he was pushed into the latrine as well. Yep. So there's a lot of smell. Huh. Walking Dead.
My mind is going to some filthy places that we should move on from.
Okay, do you want to do a quiz? This is from Jason. He sent it in to the Watchers podcast at gmail.com. He said, "G'day, Watchers. It's decision time.
Oh.
You have to pick one member of a band, superhero team, or ensemble cast to replace.
Okay.
Work. So I picked six because there were more. Just picked six. Friends.
So you've got to take someone out and swap
and you
them
replace,
with someone.
No, you are replaced.
That's
how I interpret it.
So it's not me choosing someone else. Who would I play?
No, it actually says to replace. So, yeah, either way you want to do it.
Right, you go first.
Well, I thought about it and I think I'd like to be Phoebe because she has a lot of fun. Joey was the other one. But if we're going to replace someone with a different actor, who is the most dispensable?
See, I could quite easily
swap. We're saying Ross?
No, I'm taking out Jennifer Aniston, putting Sandra Bullock in there.
I like that. Okay, I'm going to swap out Jennifer Aniston and put Tina Fey in there.
Oh, I like that. Mm.
Get that awkwardness in there.
I'd be almost tempted to put her in as Monica, though.
I
can see
pause.
Your thought process. Yep. Yeah. She's torn between those two. Mm-hmm. Good.
Fun.
I like that.
Okay. We have to replace someone in the Beatles. Do you want to be the replacer, or do you want to stick someone else from a different band?
I don't want to be in the Beatles.
Well, see, because I read it, I interpret it as I have to replace someone. I was like, well, I'll be the drummer. That's fun. So I would have replaced
Ringo
Starr, because then I could do the Thomas the Tank Engine later.
Sure.
And sing Yellow Submarine. But if we had to replace someone, I'm going to replace John Lennon with Miley Cyrus.
Bold.
Yeah.
Very bold.
I want Twitter to explode.
Sure. Flaming Lips fans everywhere just got really invested. This is a tough one. I don't know. We'll take out Paul and we'll put in Rick Astley.
Oh, the ultimate Rick roll.
There you go.
All right. Game of Thrones.
So we're going to take someone out, put someone else in, or are you putting yourself in? I could see you being a very scrappy Arya.
Yeah, Arya. I would also be open to replacing Daenerys, I've forgotten her name already, Dany. But I would change the storyline.
Sure.
So that the outcome would be
more favourable for you.
Yeah, that's right.
I would be Sam.
You'd be a good Sam. I can see you being absolutely terrified of that White Walker beginning.
Scared of everything. Come through when important and just play an excellent role as a medic and support character.
Yes, that's it. This one's right for you. Avengers, who do you want to replace as yourself?
Oh. Can I be Avengers Endgame Thor?
Of course you can.
Where he's really comfortable.
Really comfortable. Very comfortable.
I don't know. Look, no, honestly, I would, if I could be anyone in all of them.
You're Ant-Man, right?
Yeah. Yeah, completely. Yeah.
And just stay huge for that whole thing. Or you could do that fan theory and be really tiny.
Thanos.
Yeah.
Thanos.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be big all the time. Puts too much strain on the heart. Ant-Man struggles a lot.
Can you imagine the amount of food you'd have to eat?
Oh, so much. They address that. There's a comic story of the Ultimates, which was what if the Avengers existed in our universe, and a huge portion of the team's budget goes towards keeping Ant-Man alive. Mm. Because anytime he goes up, he needs 15 people to change because it literally rips all his muscles apart and everything like that. It breaks his body to shape change. And
not worth it.
And they have to feed him before he changes, when he changes, and then they have to, how do I put this nicely, help him forcibly expel plenty of the food before he shrinks back down because...
That's going to be difficult. Oh, wow. Yep. So many issues. It's not a good thing. Well, I just thought I'd like to be Captain Marvel.
Fair.
Because
nice.
She can do heaps of stuff.
Very powerful.
Just fly around, get my hair cut.
She does like a haircut.
Mm.
Wants to talk to the manager.
Exactly what it was. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Well, I always wanted to be Leonardo because I like blue.
Sure. I wanted to be Donatello so much I taped my fingers together to the point where I now have messed up fingers. My fingers hang wrong. No, they do.
Really?
Yeah. Like I can, you know.
Yeah, you can do that.
You're not meant to, but like my finger, for many
looks
years.
It's like you're Star Trekking. You live long and prosperous.
When I my hands hang naturally, generally most people, your third and fourth fingers will sit together. I mess my knuckles up, so my hands sit comfortably like that. When I open doors and things like that, I tend to use two fingers at a time.
Interesting.
Like that. I messed my hands up a little bit in a fun way.
Yeah, it's not a terrible thing to happen.
No. I taped them for 2 years wanting to be a Ninja Turtle, and then I discovered the X-Men, and Nightcrawler only had three fingers, so I kept it going for a while. Sorry, did I just blow the microphone?
So, Yeah, that's fine. There's so much of that that is amazing.
There's a lot needs to be unpacked.
So happy about that. Final one, Spice Girls.
Can I be Meatloaf? Drive the bus?
Yeah, be Meatloaf, but you can replace Posh Spice. Posh Spice, because she didn't really do any singing.
No. I could prance on a catwalk and look disapproving.
Like everybody else. I always thought that Sporty was the best because she got a lot of the singing roles.
She did, because she could sing.
Yeah.
She always had the most comfortable pant option of all of
them. That's true. Always wore sneakers.
Do you reckon Posh ever looked at her and was just like, fuck, why are you so comfortable and I'm in this again?
Look what I have to wear. I'm not allowed to touch my hair.
My ankles are so sore from these platforms.
I'm not allowed to smile or be amused at anything. Okay, I'm going to replace her with a famous person.
Yeah.
I'm going to replace her with who you suggested in the beginning, Sandra Bullock.
Nice.
She would be perfect in everything she does.
All right. If we were to make...
Spice Girls?
If we were to make a new Spice Girls and you can choose five women that represent different things, who are you going for?
Okay. Catherine Tate as Ginger Spice.
Love it.
Sporty Spice, Kathy Freeman, but only if she wears the suit.
Sure.
For Posh Spice,
mm.
I want the older lady from Two Fat Ladies Cooking Show.
Sure. Nice.
Scary Spice, I want Heather Smalls from M People.
Mm.
Someone's got to be able to sing in this.
Mm.
Who have I got left? Baby. Baby Spice, I would like, we've turfed Jennifer Aniston out of Friends. She can go in Spice Girls. Right.
That's very thoughtful.
Sounds fair.
Keep her busy.
Yeah.
All right, Baby Spice is Carly Rae Jepsen, seem to mention every week.
I know, but it doesn't matter. We've got a thing going there.
It's, it's great. Ginger Spice, I'm going to make Gwyneth Paltrow wear the Pepper Potts wig. I went to say Peppa Pig wig. That's weird.
Right, yep, okay, good. Yes, I like
so
that.
So she stops fucking talking about goop. Does something else with her time.
That's really good.
Scary Spice.
Mm.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Ooh.
Like current Jamie Lee Curtis.
Okay.
Switch it up.
Yeah.
Because she's been wearing a lot of leopard print lately.
Mm.
And, man, she was Halloween last year.
And she's got no time for any of your mucking around.
No fucking guff.
No.
No.
She'd be good as scary.
Rein it in.
Mm.
Who have I got left?
You still got Sporty
and Posh. Sporty needs to be very tomboy, I think. I'm trying to...
Yeah, you've got to find the right one.
I will come back to Sporty. But Posh, that's much easier because you can just make someone pretend. Emma Stone, she'd be great because you know that the camera would stop rolling and then she'd be really relaxed with the friends and stuff like that.
And she'd say something really, really funny.
Mm. And Sporty Spice, I don't know. I think the quiz has stumped me.
What about somebody and the Emma Stone thing?
Oh, bloody Michelle Bridges. There you go.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
She can have it.
Yeah, okay.
She seems less busy.
Yeah, she doesn't have as much on, so she'd be able to do that. I was going to suggest someone left field, Elizabeth Banks.
Sure.
Someone a bit different who would still be a bit funny.
And she'd be great because she could executive produce the album and direct and produce and market and just do everything.
Thanks.
Stay out of the way, everyone else.
Yeah.
Gwyneth wouldn't allow that.
No, but we'd tell her that she, Gwyneth, whilst Elizabeth is doing that, can you just do this Goop YouTube channel on the side, please? Keep it busy. She'll have no idea. That was a good quiz. If you've got any suggestions, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. Tom, until next week.
Bye.